I am from beyond. Listen, and all you desire will be yours. Welcome to Spider-Dan and the Secret Wars. Prepare for battle.
Welcome to Prattleworld. I'm your host, the ever-amazing, ever-spectacular Spider-Dan. And in this podcast, I spotlight entertainment's best-kept secrets that a mainstream audience may find boring. And welcome back. Back again, riding solo, and I'm here to talk top five Predator comics. So, franchise about hunting aliens who aren't really predators because they're more hunters. Yeah, so we're going to talk about them. Now, the other week I talked about the best kind of aliens comics. Now, I think Predator has not got as many good, really good ones, I'll be honest. I think with aliens, because it's set in the future, there's a lot more places you can go with it, more kind of stories you can tell. I think with Predator, it is mostly kind of mano-e-mano, or mano-e-predator, I guess, kind of match, very macho, hunting, hunters, kind of that, those kind of stories. And I think some of the better Predator stories work when they are not purely just that. Obviously, there's a fair bit of kind of that in within the films and within the, I mean, the last film, The Predator, they did try and expand it a little bit, make it more of a kind of a universe-building type franchise thing, which worked or didn't work, depending on how you felt about the film. I thought it was not amazing. There's stuff I like about it, but I didn't think it was all that good. But I think for me, like, the less resources the humans have to battle the predators with, I always find that more interesting. I know the first film, they've got these massive machine guns and chain guns and, you know, all this sort of stuff. And then eventually they lose it. But the best bit for me of the film is when Arnie's alone and he's having to mud up and he's using that human ingenuity and survival instinct to defeat the Predator. Because, the Predator loses all his weapons as well, and then it's just down to the two of them. And I think that's more interesting when the stories have kind of, they have less ability to kill the Predator, but they have to come up with a way to do it, like traps or something like that. I really like the movie, and I don't mind Predator 2, and I liked Predators as well. I thought that was pretty cool kind of spin on the original movie. Apart from that, Alien vs. Predator is okay. The first one-ish has its moments. Second one, no. Thank you very much. So I know I'm kind of saying that it's not as good as the Alien franchise, which it isn't, to be fair, but I think there's a lot of fun you can have with the Predator franchise as well, a lot of things. The comics really expand the universe as per the Alien comics. They really go in and kind of find new ways of telling these stories. But I think, again, they're mostly set in modern day, these stories. So, and I think that's, they've kind of missed a trick in the movies by not making them like period pieces. Like, I would love to see a Predator film like set in the right in the middle of Vietnam during the Vietnam War, or, you know, or one set in like a feudal Japan. Something like that would be fantastic. And you'll see some of that within my choices that I've made here. I like the character. I like the design. I like the vocals by Peter Cullen of Optimus Prime fame came up with the vocals. I think the design's good. I believe it was Stan Winston, I want to say. I'm pretty sure it's Stan Winston. And I like the kind of backstory that Jean-Claude Van Damme was going to play like a lizardy kind of alien chameleon thing. And then he quit and obviously was redesigned and stuff. So it's got a really juicy kind of history, and made even more fascinating when they did kind of include it in the Alien versus Predator mythos, when they slammed those two franchises together. Big fan of those stories, and I'm going to look at them sooner or later. I just need to finish reading a few more just to kind of get a good gist of what they're best, because there's not as many as you would think with Alien versus Predator comics. There's not as many as Predator or Alien to compare against, so it's a bit of a harder job for me. But yeah, let's get started. I want to talk top five Predator comics. So these are the ones you want to look out for. There'll be a few more honorable mentions as well, as per usual. But let's start here with number one, or number five rather, Big Game. And this is featured in Dark Horse's Predator Omnibus Volume 2. Again, you can find these books online on Comixology, or you can buy them directly or digitally from Dark Horse, I believe, as well. And you can find the singular issues, you can find the physical graphic novels. You know, take your pick. I prefer to get the omnibuses because it's got a few more kind of stories in there anyway. So this is written by, this is Big Game, written by John Arcudi with art by Evan Dorkin. So this features a Native American soldier who struggles in the kind of military. He's, for lack of a better word, treated very poorly and, you know, offensively. People are offensively racist to him because he's a Native American and they, you know, they make fun of him. And like, due to all these kind of issues and him not rising up in the ranks and him not being all he can be and not having the opportunity to be all that he can be within this kind of very white kind of military group, he's, you know, he's an alcoholic and he has this huge kind of amazing kind of Native American heritage, which is explored in these stories. It's really fascinating. One of the better bits or parts of the story. It does come back in several other stories in the future as well. It's Corporal Enoch Nakai is his name. He kind of, when he got to a kind of age, he's like a teenager. He's like, I'm going off to the army. I'm going to join the army. And his grandfather's very mystical and kind of culturally well within that kind of that tribal world that he lives in. He's very much, he honors that culture, for lack of a better word. But he kind of, that's all he's about, is his culture and what he does. This army base is, you know, just regular army base doing what it's doing. And then all of a sudden, guess what? A predator comes down. A Yautja is their race name, if you're unfamiliar. Yautjas. I think that's how you pronounce it. Yautja? Maybe? Who knows? Somebody write in and tell me how to pronounce the Predator's race. Please do. I need help. So he basically is, I think he's out on a patrol or he's manning a gun or a part of the base, and they get attacked by a predator. His whole team is killed and he survives. Miraculously, he survives and gets back to the base. He's like, you're not going to believe me. This is crazy, but this happened. He's dead. That happened. There's an alien. And they're like, yeah, sure, whatever. And then again, treat him very poorly yet again. And then the army goes to check just to be sure. And then they find the alien spaceship and the Predator spaceship, and they take it. They nick it, which is quite brazen, really, for the army, considering they don't know what's out there. Like, oh yeah, let's get some of that technology. These things are always like, oh, alien technology could do so much with that, make so much money, just like old Weyli Yutani in the previous podcast. So they take it back to the army base, and then they basically kick Nakai out because they're like, we don't need him on the base, we don't particularly like him anyway, and if he gives out any of this kind of information, you know, it could be ruined. I mean, surely you would lock him up as opposed to just let him go, because he could still like tell the press and stuff, but I guess they thought he was some kind of like honor bound thing, maybe. But yeah, so, and while they're investigating the spaceship, the Predator comes back and's like, what the fuck, where's my ship? So he nukes his own ship. There's a nuclear device in his ship, and he wipes out the entirety of the army base. Everybody's dead. Nakai's not there. He's down another town, two towns away or something. He's not even aware this has happened. I'm sure you would probably hear and or notice a big nuclear explosion, but there you go. But yeah, he's a really cool character. I really like Nakai in this, and he's really troubled. And I find that a lot in these kind of stories, a lot of the kind of Predator stories, they are very kind of troubled people, troubled heroes, or, you know, they've seen things and done things that they'd rather not talk about. You know, they've got demons and skeletons in the closet. But basically, Nakai goes back to the base when he finds out that it's no longer there and tries to convince everybody else that there's a monster out there, an alien out there, or a demon. And that's when his kind of his culture and heritage comes back into it, and he starts seeing it, like all these stories his grandfather used to tell him and things like that. He was like, maybe they are real, maybe this is it, maybe this is what my ancestors talked about for hundreds of years. So it's a great moment because he basically just rocks up and shoots a bazooka at it. It's fantastic. The artwork's really, really good as well. It's very kind of, late 80s, early 90s-ish style. But it works. It makes the Predator look terrifying, massive. And it gets quite injured, the Predator, throughout this kind of... like slowly but surely gets quite injured, even kills some cattle, I remember. And there's a great bit as well where the Predator like learns how to use an M16 rifle, so he's just like just mowing soldiers down as well. But it's fantastic. But again, he's left alone, like entirely alone, and he has to figure out a way to defeat the Predator, because he's got a gun and maybe a couple of grenades or something, and he basically just starts trying to lead him into a trap. Again, I won't spoil it too much, but he tries to lead him into a trap because he knows the area, and he feels like the spirits are with him, his ancestors are with him in this fight. It is hunter versus hunter. Again, the hunter has become the hunted in this story. But he's a really cool character, and it's really nice to see, again, like I talked the other week about Daniel Moonstar. It's great to see kind of Native American representation in comics whenever we can get it. And it's really quite a good book, and he's a Navajo, so he comes from like the Navajo tribe of Native Americans. And honestly, that's probably why this story I find it more fascinating, because it's a culture that I'm not that versed with, and I think that makes it all the more interesting for me. But again, it has everything you want in a Predator story. It's got, you know, machine guns going off. It's got, you know, fighting against these alien creatures. It's like, again, mano y mano, very much like the first Predator film and several others. But it has its own spins, its own takes, and it's a unique kind of vision for the Predator comics. And I highly recommend this one. It's a lot of fun. And just get on it. Just get on that one, because it's a lot. I love it a lot. I love it a lot. So that was Big Game from Predator Omnibus Volume 2. Well, again, you can buy it on its own. So next one is Bad Blood in Predator Omnibus Volume 3. So this is actually written by the previous artist in the previous book, so Evan Dorkin, and the art on this one is by Derek Thompson. In some ways, the Predator films don't highlight a lot of the kind of Predator culture. And in some ways, I think that's a good thing. And in some ways, I kind of wish they'd just tell us a little bit more about them, or give us a bit more of an insight. I know the kind of latest one did a bit more. The Predator did a bit more with that. And, you know, it worked and didn't work, you know, on various levels. But I find it quite fascinating, that kind of hunter, kind of almost tribal way that they view their world. That's their, you know, this is their religion, their outlook, the way they handle themselves, where they conduct themselves, the rules and regulations they have for hunting. What's really fascinating about this book is that we get a Predator that is just, it's the Ted Bundy of Predators. It is basically a serial killer. He will kill anything, any and all things. It won't be like, there won't be any hunting involved or stalking. It is just like mass killing. And it's not like a one-on-one type thing. There's no honor there anymore, because he is a psychotic Predator, which is even more terrifying than a regular Predator. Just an apeshit, batshit crazy Predator is, you know, will use his weapons and will use whatever he's got and doesn't care, and has that maniacal, manic bloodlust that only kind of serial killer could have. So he lands on Earth and he lands in the middle of a paintball kind of place where people go, and there's all these people that are there on a kind of a business kind of outing, kind of like a bonding, you know, whatever. So we see that he's arrived, and it's in the Pine Barrens in New Jersey. That's it. So at this paintball range, which is quite a disturbing area. I think that's where the legend of the Jersey Devil comes from, which comes up in this, and they describe him as the Jersey Devil. They think he is the Jersey Devil, which is really quite interesting. Again, another bit of kind of culture. And again, it's a lot like the Alien comics, when the Aliens comics, where they relate, you know, these aliens and these creatures and things to like demons and myths and legends and urban legends. And I find that fascinating as well. So that's really cool. So he starts this killing spree at the paintball camp, and he kills, like, in this book, he kills like 50 plus people. Like, if you are looking for, like, if you're wanting to watch a slasher movie, because that's effectively what Predator is, effectively, is an alien slasher movie. It's just that all the soldiers are well-trained and have weaponry. Like, that's the only difference. You know, they've taken the college or the high school kids and just gone, right, hardcore fucking soldiers and Marines and what have you, you know, absolute beefcakes, you know, and that kind of ups the ante as well. It's not like a skinny teen or you've got Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jesse the Body Ventura, Carl Weathers, you know, there's some guy with a knife is not going to take those guys down. This is like the ultimate killing machine. So yeah, so he just like obliterates everybody. You know, in Predator lore, they basically, obviously it's about the game, and if they don't have any weapons, they tend not to kill you. And you know, they have rules and regulations that have been put in place, and that's it. And this guy just doesn't give a fuck. The Predators actually send like a cop after him, and basically it's kind of like it becomes Predator versus Predator, which is, it's a great little matchup as well. But the guy who ran the paintball camp is also like ex-CIA, so he's used to kind of missions and stuff, and the whole paintball camp is taken over by a previous colleague who he didn't like, or a boss he didn't like, and he basically gets these other guys out of retirement, his friends, and they're like, right, we're going to go kill this thing. I've encountered this thing. We're going to go kill it, and I don't care. But yeah, it's just a great read. It's just an absolute kind of slobber knocker of a Predator story. So much happens, so much is going on, and the artwork is so good. I think this is might probably be my favorite artwork in the book, and it lends itself. I mean, Evan Dorkin probably could have drawn this as well, but I think his style was better suited for the previous story. In this story, it's just absolute balls to the wall craziness. Predator versus Predator. People having limbs severed left and right. You know, it's a very different story, but it is a mad, mad story that kind of fits, and the artwork fits that madness and that, you know, crazy kind of mentality that this bad blood Predator. I think now after this story they call them bad blood. If they're basically Predator criminals, they become what they call bad blood Predators. But I really recommend this one. It's a lot of fun. It's just brutal, like from the get-go, utterly brutal. This is the Jason Voorhees of Predators is in this book, and it's just great. It's just so, so fantastic. And it's, you know, it's nice to get a further glimpse into the Predator culture, lifestyle, religion. You know, it's all kind of tied into one another. And there's a great bit where I won't spoil it. I won't spoil it. I don't want to spoil any more of this than I absolutely have to. But that's a really, really good story. So check that one out as well. Next up, so this is number three. This is Nemesis. So Omnibus Volume 4. So this is written by Gordon Rennie and with art by Colin McNeil. So you know what I was saying about the kind of they should, you know, take it back further in history, go the opposite way with the Predator movies, you know, like an X-Men First Class type thing, you know, put it as a period piece. You know, that is where you go, I think. I think that is the idea. That's the same way I feel about James Bond, because he's, you know, there's problems with James Bond. You know, the original writer, he was never meant to be likable. He's meant to be a womanizer. He's meant to be a bit, you know, not a great person. I think he would fit better back in the 60s if you did a series of James Bond films. I think that would work better, because we would understand why he's such an arsehole, because that's the culture he grew up in, the way he was, you know, believed. He's a killer, you know. So I feel the same about the Predator movies. I think take it further back, you know, make it a period piece. So in Predator 2, we see that the Predators have been visiting us since 1718, which is a comic book actually that almost made the list. In the finale of Predator 2, Danny Glover's character is handed a gun from 1718, effectively saying that we, the Predators, have been coming here to Earth since then. We've always been here. So that story is about kind of like a pirate, and they kind of team up. It's about treasure and stuff. It's a very short story, but it's still very good, and the artwork is fantastic. So search that one out as well. But So they've been coming back way, way, way before, you know, the 1980s or whenever that story is set. This is set, believe it or not, in Victorian London. So the Diogenes Club, I'm not sure how you pronounce that, basically ask a former soldier, Captain Soames, to hunt down a serial killer named Spring-Heeled Jack, which is, I believe, based on a kind of myth as well, or, you know, kind of very much Jack the Ripper type thing. So they've asked them to do that, to do the police work, to chase it up. And surprise, surprise, it's a predator. And Captain Soames has encountered a predator before, back in India when he served in India, and he remembers the terror and the fear, and then again he manages to escape. I think he's quite cowardly and runs away at that point, but now he discovers they find the ship in a kind of a sewer system, because they manage the ship can go underwater and then into the sewer system, but then when the tide goes out you can get to the ship. So he kind of sets a trap for the predator. But it's a great proper matchup, because like Captain Soames is a big guy and he's wearing this huge top hat. He's got this massive kind of handlebar mustache going on as well. And again, changing the setting, you know, making it a period piece, just makes Predator more interesting for me. You're like, there's this great splash page of the Predator against like the London skyline, you know, in kind of celebration of its kill. And you know, you can see the skyline, and it just makes for some really gorgeous visuals, which you don't see. You know, I'd love to see that in a movie. Why not do that movie? Make that movie. Again, all of these alien comics and all these Predator comics would make great movies, but they don't ever seem to go and look at a comic and go, wow, that was a great inspiration, or that was a cool story. Apart from Alien vs. Predator, which I don't know how far they looked into the comics. But yeah, I just think, why not? And he's got this massive blunderbuss and he's firing at the Predator. It's a really, really good story. Another excellent story. What's really interesting as well is that it features a couple of kind of... It's set in a world where Sherlock Holmes exists, because not only is Mycroft Holmes in the story, it also has Inspector Lestrade. So we could have effectively seen Sherlock Holmes versus the Predator. And I'd be up for that. Why not? It could be like a kind of a Hound of the Baskervilles type thing, maybe. Who knows? I think it was fantastic. I think it's really well written. The artwork is really clean and crisp, and it fits this particular story. It's very short. I think it's only about a couple of issues. The covers are really nice as well, really gorgeous covers. But yeah, it's nice to see a jolly old a Predator story set in jolly old England. You know, it's great stuff. Great, great stuff. Okay, moving on. So that was, where are we now? So we've had Big Game, Bad Blood, Nemesis. Ah, yes. So the last three stories that I've mentioned, recently they brought out a comic called Hunters. So this is number two on my list. So Hunters was written by Chris Warner and art by Francisco Ruiz Velasco. Now, this is the most modern Predator comic, and it is the best one I've read as well in the recent years. And what it does, which is great, by the way, is it pulls from all these old stories. The ones I've just mentioned, all of those characters, you know, in some way have something to play within this story. So for example, Enoch is back, and one of the survivors from Bad Blood is there. And also we have the descendant of Captain Soames. Basically, all have decided that they want to hunt predators. They want to be the hunters. They are going to hunt them down. And Nakai is a bit like, because they go to Nakai first and they're like, you know, I'm not sure, you know, I'm not really a soldier anymore. I defeated that thing, but it was a long time ago. They kicked me out of the army, you know, and I was only interested in killing those things. Everybody else wanted the technology and all the other stuff, like to make money or to do something else or to make a profit out of it. And these guys are like, no, no, no. If we take the technology, it's purely to kill more of these things. We're literally soldiers who have survived encounters with these things, and have history with these things, and we just want them dead. So they form this new crack squad, and basically they get a kind of a ping or something. Oh, that's it. The story starts off with three guys who are let out of a cage with swords. The swords left for them, and they have to basically escape the predators. The predators are having a little game, and he manages just barely to escape with his life. And then I think he dies, but he mentions and describes the predators, describes what they look like. So then this new crack squad head over to this kind of this Hawaiian island, and they're going in, they go over to the island that's next to it, which is inhabited by people, inhabited by a group of people. But there's something not quite right about this group of people, and they're... their link to the island, their link to the predators, is slowly revealed. Again, I don't want to ruin this one too much because it's quite a recent one as well. But there's a really interesting kind of... the predators on the island have been there so long, they've kind of become... all the technology's gone, there's no power left. So they're left to kind of like classic weapons. So they've only got like swords and spears and bow and arrows and that sort of thing. And even their masks, even those biomasks they have, are made of wood and things like that, if they even wear those masks. And it's really good. The artwork is absolutely gorgeous. And again, really, really good. I love the fact that they pulled from continuity. I'm a real continuity whore. Sometimes I think continuity can get in the way of a good story, but sometimes I think it only enhances it, you know, only enhances that story. And I go, yeah, I know that. And that links to this and that links to that. You know, I'm a massive fan of that. If you can pull from something that I've read prior, or, you know, that's what I think is so wonderful about comic book universes, is that everybody, anything can happen, anything could have happened, you could reference anything at any time, you can pull characters out of obscurity, you can put them back, you know. That's why I love comic books so much. There's you can tell literally any story within that framework. I mean, it's the same with novels, I know, and various other things, but, you know, it's very rare that a novel series would get to the point where every other novel will interact ever. You know, even Stephen King hasn't done that. He's had a bit of kind of teasers and crossovers and stuff, but that doesn't, very rarely happens in a novel. But yeah, so this is the most modern story. If you're looking for like a modern story to go with, this is the one for you. It's called Hunters. I know there's a sequel, and I think a third one has just come out quite recently as well. Again, I've not read those, but I definitely will. I'm going to get them next time they're on sale or I can find them. I will be getting those. And it's so, so good. And again, it's like a nice spin. Again, it's not, you know, strictly, you know, mano y mano again. It's got something different about it. And I think you've got to play with that. If it's just like another modern day, you know, a man fighting another predator. Yeah, I know, I've seen it. But add some more story elements, make it more interesting, do something else with it, you know. And I think all these stories do that. And my final choice, my final choice for Predator Comics. So this is Hell Come A-Walkin' from Omnibus Volume 4. So this is by Nancy Collins and with art by Dean Ormston. Again, another great story set in a different era. So this is set in the American Civil War. So you've got a group of Confederacy and another from the Union, and they are currently trying to basically move a cannon into position, but they're having to take it through some like marshland and stuff. And then they realize that the other group of soldiers is there, and then they start shooting each other and fighting, and they start hiding and kind of waiting each other out, hoping that, you know, one will give up sooner or surrender or something. But then all of a sudden, the Confederate Army sees the Predator and it sees it kill one of their teammates. And they come in, you know, with open arms to the Union soldiers, and they say, right, I know we've got our issues, I know we don't agree, but there's something worse out there. There is something worse. There is literally
a devil out there. The devil is out there and he wants our souls. And it's really, really good. Again, another quite short story, like relatively short, but all the characters are really well fully formed. Like they've all got their own issues. They've all got their own reasons for joining, you know, the Union or the Confederacy. You know, their backstories are really fascinating. Like one of the Confederate soldiers had the Union soldiers did some awful stuff to his father and his brother that made him join. Some of the language might be offensive to some people. You know, it's quite a sensitive topic. Obviously, a lot of racial slurs are thrown about. But obviously, that is of the time and it's of the era. But I can understand if people would take issue with it. But this is a very good story. And again, this could be a movie so easily. This would make such a great movie. It's just, I don't know. I think this is my favorite one. I have to admit, this is my favorite one because it's just got a lot of elements. It's got enemies coming together. It's got the historical aspect. It's got these demonic backstories or these urban legends again, describing what the Predator could be and see and what he looks like. But there's a black soldier and the Confederate soldier, basically the leaders of both sides, and even they come to a kind of mutual understanding, even though obviously there's a lot of bad blood between them. Yeah, no pun intended. That makes it all the more interesting, and they have to work together to kill this thing, and the artwork is so dark and foreboding, and it's like a kind of backwards horror movie, but it works so well, and it's fun, and I couldn't put this one down. I really couldn't. I really, really enjoyed this one. Fascinating read. I just really liked it. All these stories are great. Again, I don't want to spoil it too much because I think people should go out and read them. All of these are great. Really, really fun books. Again, I wouldn't say that there's as many decent stories as there are for Alien, but again, still a lot of fun can be had and you can get a lot out of it. Okay, I think I'm pretty much done with that. Again, I know I went on a bit longer with the Alien comics, but I think there's a lot more I can say, and I like them a hell of a lot more than the Predator comics. Again, I love these, don't get me wrong, I love these, the ones I've picked, but again, I feel like a lot of them are kind of missing something, that there's something about the Alien franchise was just, it's just grander in scheme, it's grander in ideas, there's more to it, and again, I think there's potential to do with the Predator series, sort of, but it's not been, they've not dug deep enough for me just yet. But I'm going to go through a few honourable mentions. So I'm going to mention the Dutch's brother in the first three series, kind of mini-series that the Dark Horse produced about Predator were Concrete Jungle, Cold War, and Dark River. Now, these all feature Dutch's twin brother. He's the hero of that story. And he's trying to find out what happened to his brother. He digs deep and he finds that there's aliens. The first one is set in a city, and I think there was a lot of inspiration taken from that and used in Predator 2. Cold War, the Predators crash land in Siberia, I think. And they don't like cold weather, and that's kind of where that idea was put in place. And then Dark River takes them back to the scene and the area of the first movie. Blanking where that is in the film, and that's in volume one. That's pretty much almost the entirety of volume one of the omnibus for Predator. Invaders from the Fourth Dimension is another. This one I really came really close to being included. It's set in the 50s, and basically there's a movie coming out called Invaders of the Fourth Dimension, and it's all very gimmicky. It's very William Castle inspired. So he used to have all the gimmicks like vibrating chairs and smell-o-vision and all that sort of stuff. He used to do all those kind of things just to get people butts on seats. And that's what happens here, basically. It's all about this child takes these 3D glasses from the movie, because it's going to be a 3D movie, and wears them all day. And he turns out these 3D glasses. It's a really fun story. It's stupid. It's probably not everyone's cup of tea, but I really enjoyed the setting of it. Again, setting it in the past, do it. And he can, the 3D glasses can kind of, he can see a cloaked predator. So the visually, he can see the predator when he's cloaked. So he's, nobody else believes him. And there's just people like, he's just running away from the predator. And I think he managed to steal some grenades from the predator as well. It's a fun story. It's silly. It's very tongue in cheek. But I had a lot of fun with that one. So it came very close to being on the list. Race War is quite an interesting one that is set. I know it's another crack squad who wants to hunt down predators. And he, it ends up being set on in a prison, and there's a lot of kind of stuff and a lot of tension. And again, it's kind of similar to Hell Come a Walking a bit. So, like, you know, everyone has to team up despite differences and despite, you know, racial tension. 1718, I mentioned, that's on volume two. So, Invaders from the Fourth Dimension, volume two, Race War, volume two, 1718, volume two as well. Kindred's an interesting one. It's kind of about a kid sees his abusive father get killed, and then he wants to kind of almost become the predator, starts dressing up like him, and then another one turns up and he kind of has to kill it. That's his thing. He feels like he has to kill it. Also in volume three, along with Kindred, is Strange Rue. It's just kind of set in the Louisiana Bayou. Again, it's a short story, don't want to ruin too much, but it's got a fantastic ending. And the final one, I don't really like to include crossovers in these lists since I'm talking purely about Predator, but I have to mention Batman versus Predator is probably one of the best crossovers, along with RoboCop versus Terminator. Batman versus Predator is just fantastic. It's one of the Kubert's draws it, and it's written by Dave Gibbons, so you know it's going to be good. The one of the Alien books, Salvation, that we talked about last time. Fantastic. Really, really, really good. I don't know what much more I can say about this. I think those are your Predators. I've been really enjoying the Predator game, the Hunting Grounds, Predator Hunting Grounds. I had a lot of fun with that. That's by the same team that does Illphonic. So they're the same team that did Friday the 13th, which is another excellent game I've been playing recently. It's really fun. You get to either play as a fire team, which is kind of like, you get, there's four of you and you play like this crack squad of soldiers. You have to go in and complete a mission. Sometimes it's like, you've got to like bomb an area, or you've got to stop these drugs from being sold, or plant a bomb, or things like that. But it's really fun. You also get to play as the Predator, and as you go along and as you get better and get more experience, you earn more powers, you earn more custom items. And yeah, I do apologize for my sniffliness. I've got a bit of a sniffle today. I don't know why. Don't ask me why. Hopefully I'm not infected. certainly hope not. But yeah, so that's a really fun game. I recommend it. It's all online. If you enjoy playing online, it's cool. But yeah, you get to use Old Painless. The music's there. You get a sense of it. You're in the jungles. You use mud to cover yourself and hide yourself from the predator. You know, you can use... the only thing it doesn't have is like... It's like a Little Richard song, which I really would have liked if it still had. It's not Good Golly Miss Molly. It's the other one. I think that would have added to it more. But yeah, you get the hats and things and the various items from various films. Again, you can customize your predator. You get some really cool masks. You've got different types of people as well. You can play as like a scout, a recon, or a support, or just a general kind of infantry trooper. It's the same with predators. So if you're a scout, you're a little bit quicker, but you've got less health. If you're like a tank, you've got more health, but you can't move around as fast. Customize, you can have a female predator, you can have a male predator, female soldier, male soldier. You can change everything about them. Mask, skin, different face paints, hats, balaclavas, masks, you name it. You've got whole kit and caboodle. Loads of great weapons like M50s, chain guns, sniper rifles, pistols, machine guns. A lot of fun. And yeah, it's a blast. It's a blast. I really recommend it as a game. I think it's a lot of fun. It's not the best shooter, technically. Doesn't look the best, but it's just fun. It's just fun. And it's quick and easy. Most missions are only about 20 minutes. I think the time limit is about 20 minutes. Playing the Predator is tricky, but it is good. Once you get a kind of handle on it, I need to play as the Predator a bit more. But I've been more interested in kind of upgrading the weapons and various. You can't upgrade your Predator weapons. You can only customize your body and the way you look. You can't really upgrade the weapons. You can change the colour of the weapons and the shading of the weapons, but it's really, really fun. And obviously, so you get all the elements of those classic Predator films, especially the first one. You play the team, and again, you've got all the music, you can hear all the sounds. All the sounds are so good as well. You've got the noises of the Predator, you've got the noise of the cloak coming on and off, the thermal imaging going on and off. You know, great stuff. It's an absolute love letter to those films. So and that's kind of what inspired me to look at these comics again. Like I said, in the last one, playing Terminator, playing this, playing Alien Isolation as well, really inspired me to get back stuck into these. And I hope you guys get stuck into them too, because I think they are really good. They're really, really good books. Again, all those other honourable mentions are just as good. I wouldn't mention them otherwise. Get stuck into those as well. But those five I've mentioned, check out maybe Hunters 2 and 3 as well, because I know I will. And I'm going to come back. I'm either going to do Terminator. I think I'll do Terminator next, and then give us a little break from the Alien stuff, and then come back with Alien versus Predator. I've got a few more things I'm currently off at the moment, so I'm going to try and get maybe 2 podcasts out a week at a push, maybe a one with a guest and one by myself. So we'll see. But I'm keeping well. I hope you guys are staying safe, and I hope hopefully these podcasts are helping you keep regular and keep keep everything together. If you need to talk, or you want to request anything while I'm off, do it, and I'll try my best to try and jump on that and do something. I've got a few coming up. I've got quite a few kind of top 5 videos coming up, so we should have a lot of fun with those. I'm doing a lot of comics-based stuff, because I haven't done a lot of comics-based stuff for a while. And you know how much I love comics. And the dying industry. Hopefully it doesn't die. I'm sure it won't go away forever. Perhaps amid all this, we may only get digital comics from now on, potentially, which would be sad. But I would understand if that was the case. But I hope that this Marvel DC idea comes off, because I really, really want to see some Marvel DC crossovers again, because I used to love those. I thought they were great. Had a lot of fun with those. I should probably still see if I can get some of them, some of the older ones. Anyway, this has been me. I've talked far too long about Predator and stuff and all this other stuff. But yeah, keep good, guys. I'll keep doing what I'm doing, because if I didn't, I'd probably go a bit mad, sat in my house all this time. Keep busy, keep active, do what you need to do. Send all my love to everybody. Hope you guys are good. So this is me signing out. So as per usual, I'll tell you where you can find me. So you can find me at Secret Balls. So that's at Secret Balls on Facebook. It's at Dan_Balls on Twitter, Instagram, Spider Dan Secret Balls. And the podcast is available on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, many, many more. And if you'd like to donate towards the podcast, you can buy me a coffee at ko-fi.com/SpiderDanTheSecretBalls. And if you're going to interact with us, don't forget to use the hashtag Prepare for Prattle. Remember to like, share, subscribe, all those cool things. All right, guys, much like the Predator, I'm going to disappear. Goodbye.